Criminal justice is not just a matter of law and order. There are many forces shaping how people end up in jail. Substance abuse, mental health issues, race, and economics all come into play. Recently, we found a man whose story shows us just how interconnected all of these issues are. NHPR's Emily Corwin has the story.
I find Michael Treadwell in the back of a courtroom. He's wearing a windbreaker and work boots and leaning his elbows on his knees. At first, it looks like he's chewing gum. Later, when we talk, I discover he isn't chewing gum, he's chewing his own gums. Michael Treadwell doesn't have teeth.
And when you live in a town like Nashua, there's not a lot of homelessness there. And it kind of like focuses on you, it kind of like puts you in the spotlight. Especially if you have alcohol, you drink alcohol and stuff.
Michael is a 53-year-old African-American. I've been looking for him since I came across his criminal record. Over the last 6 years, he's spent 854 days in jail. His charges all basically come from being homeless and getting drunk. Here's his summer of 2015. Trespass in an apartment building, spend 30 days in jail. Bother restaurant customers, 42 days in jail. Panhandle aggressively, 30 days in jail. There are charges for drinking in public and urinating on buildings. This has been Michael's life for years. Drink, get arrested, go to court, go to jail, repeat. At the courthouse, I watch him plead guilty to public urination. Then we take a walk in the rain through the city.
People kill homeless people, violence and everything else. You know, it can be a very dangerous life to live in. You know, I don't suggest jail as an alternative, but no kind of life, you know what I'm saying?
When you were younger, did you think this is what life would be like?
Oh, no. Not at all. Nothing like this. I had different plans, very different plans.
Although Michael did do time for drug charges in the early 90s, for years, his life was on the right track. He traversed the country driving trucks, a job his ex-wife, Sherry Treadwell, tells me he loved. Sitting across from me at her kitchen table, she remembers what a mechanic he was.
He could listen to any motor at all, and he can tell you exactly what the problem is. And if it's not too complicated or need specialized tools, he can fix it for you right there on the spot.
Sherry and Michael got married in 2000 and had two daughters. For the next 10 years, Michael stayed on the right side of the law. To Sherry, all of Michael's problems, the drinking, the homelessness, the stints in jail, they're all symptoms of his mental illness. She tells me a year or two into their marriage, Michael started acting strange.
He would think there's people listening in on our conversations. He would whisper to me in the car, "Shh, the car is bugged." And I'm like, "No, the car is not bugged." He wouldn't talk on the phone. People were following him.
Sherry says Michael turned to alcohol to cope. Concerned for her kids, she told him to leave. They divorced in 2007. Since then, his most serious convictions are two acts of vandalism. But mostly, Michael gets arrested for trespassing. Combined, he spent more than a year and a half in jail for just that. I did the math. According to Hillsborough County, it costs $74 a day to keep someone in jail there. I tell Sherry, since 2011, the county has spent more than $63,000 locking Michael up.
Just on Mike alone?
Yeah, just Mike.
Wow. I didn't know that.
People have tried to help. A year after getting divorced, Michael met Joretta Copeland. He adopted her, unwitting, as a guardian of sorts. He had showed up at her church asking for bus money. 9 years later, Joretta calls looking after Michael a God-given mission. She knows him better than anyone, and she knows how bad he can get when he drinks.
He gets to yelling and screaming and hollering, and he's talking and he's cussing people out, swearing and carrying on, and so forth and whatnot. It scares people because they don't know if he's going to attack them. They don't know what his intentions are.
Joretta says Michael needs to go somewhere that can help him with both the alcoholism and the voices in his head. Really, she says he needed this decades ago. She's tried to get him into the state mental hospital. 3 years ago, the perfect opportunity arrived. Michael was in jail for trespassing again. This time, a judge began the process to get him committed.
Let's see. Wow.
Jaretta shuffles through the folders of Michael's jail and medical records. She finds it.
Okay. Petition and Certificate for Involuntary Emergency Admission, IEA. Michael Treadwell, July 29, 2014.
The jail had Michael ready to go. The hospital had a psychiatrist ready. But the sheriff didn't get the memo. He was supposed to take Michael from jail to the hospital.
By the time everything connected, the timing was too late. The psychiatrist had left.
Jaretta says the jail would not coordinate another visit. Instead, 3 years later, Michael continues to cycle from the streets to court to jail and back again.
The system isn't working at all for people like Mike.
Sherry, Michael's ex-wife, says Mike's not the only one who the system has failed. Her daughters don't have a dad around. She works two jobs and is rarely home, and they miss him. At one point, Sherry tells me if Michael gets on the straight and narrow, she'll marry him again. But then she tells me this.
His liver is gone now because of the alcoholism, and so we know he's not going to be around for too much longer. And this hurts. This hurts the girls and I, and it hurts me more because I know the system could have done something. Had he had some kind of money or clout or whatever it takes, he could have gotten that help that he needed.
Last time I talked to Michael, he told me he wanted to go down to South Carolina, where he grew up, to get his trucking license back in order. I recently checked in with Sherry. She told me he had gotten down to South Carolina. He called her from a jail down there. For NHPR, I'm Emily Corwin.